When I was 12 years old, I was asked to write an article for publication. This was at the age of 12 and prior to digital proliferation. I was answering the question of the story of my faith. It was a confirmation. I shared it in church, in the newsletter, and then beyond. The personal story of how I, at 12, knew Jesus. It was a public story of how Jesus was redeeming the world, one person, me, at a time. In an age before Facebook, my grandmother clipped it out of the newspaper, tucked it in her pocketbook, and looked for every opportunity to share it with anyone who would ask about her granddaughter. She'd just pull it right out and let you read it right along. For those of us who have confirmed or affirmed the gift of faith in our lives, we know that these life stories are at once personal and public. For each one of us, if our relationship with Jesus is not personal, if we don't know Jesus in an intimate and personal way, we've missed something of the gospel. And if the world at large cannot see the impact of being a Christian on our lives, we've missed some part of the gospel. The life of a Christian is personal and unique. It's lived out in the details of life. It's about the way you think about your neighbor, the one who kind of irritates you a little bit with the choices they make, and how you treat your loved ones when they know exactly how to push your buttons, whether they mean to or not. The life of a Christian is public and personal. We're called to follow Jesus as a people like today who gather, who forgive, who rejoice, who mourn, who bear one another's burdens. But somehow, this is not how we've always understood Christ followers. There's a way of thinking that our religion is private. How we know Jesus is very private. Somewhere along the way, our culture has taught us that that's the kind of thing you keep to yourself, not to be shared with anyone else. It's on the list of three things you never talk about in polite conversation. We've been taught it shouldn't impact our lives in any way. My friends, this is not biblical, and it's certainly not of God. While Jesus is always personal, always concerned about the specifics in our lives, Jesus is not private, needing to be restricted and confidential, limited access to those around us. As a church, Big C Church, we've most often claimed Jesus to be private when we don't want others to know about areas of our faith walk. When we've claimed our prayer lives to be private because we don't want the accountability of others asking about them. When we've claimed our giving to be private because we don't want to be held accountable for the cornerstone of the discipline of giving that tithing is. We've claimed our service is private when we don't want others to know exactly who we're engaging with and what the needs of our community are. But private is not the same as personal. Our prayer lives are personal and they are specific. When we spend time in prayer and petition on behalf of those in need, when we listen to how is God calling me today and for now, it's immensely personal. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 reminds us that our faith is also public. when we know the life-changing power of Jesus, experience that personal and intimate connection, encounter the saving grace of God, we have a job to tell the world. In order to share the good news that Jesus is not Savior for one or for a specific selected few, but for all. Jim Wallace of the Sojourners movement says it this way: God is personal, never private. God knows everything about us and wants a relationship anyway. Why? To sign us up for his purposes in the world. Jim goes on to say, I didn't hear that as a kid. I heard about me and the Lord, not God's purposes for the world. Most of us have been more engaged with what others are doing rather than how we are a part of that public purpose God has for our world. This is not a new challenge. As Susan was reading, we heard the exchange between Peter, Jesus, and the beloved disciple at the end of the Gospel of John. Peter trying to figure out that relationship between Jesus and the disciple Jesus loved. Nowhere in Scripture are we given the name of who that is. Scholars have posited it was John, the writer of the Gospel. It was Mary Magdalene, or perhaps a non-Jewish disciple. Others have said it was Lazarus as well. Some have even gone as far as to say the beloved disciple is you and I, that future-looking readers of the gospel would have a place alongside Jesus as well. We're not given confirmation of who it is, but we know that when Peter is trying to find the personal nature of that relationship, he's rebuked by Jesus. He's reminded again of what came just the verse before. Feed my sheep. He'd gotten distracted by the personal detail and forgot the mandate. Excuse me. He got more interested in the details than in the follow me. This is also the challenge of the early church in the Acts passage. As the movement had grown, there were more than just Jews who had experienced Jesus. Gentiles had begun to hear about this teacher, this miracle worker, and risen Savior, who they were going to model their lives after. Except their lives didn't include all the Jewish traditions. No kosher laws or dietary restrictions. And Peter baptized those different eating, different living disciples of Jesus Christ, those Gentiles alongside the Jews. How could they reconcile following the same Savior when there were differences? The personal exercise becomes public. This is the first time in Acts that the conflict is internal, not just steeling themselves against those who live and believe differently. The conflict is in the church. How is your personal experience and my personal experience of Jesus both part of our public witness? It's the growing pains of a movement that realizes Jesus is not just a personal friend with healing for their specific needs, but also a public savior for the whole world. It's the painful learning of that community that needs to shift beyond Jesus is my self-help guru to serve my needs only, to Jesus is for the whole world, to impact the whole world. I think as a church, we've often believed that we understand following Jesus only the way we know. that the ways others follow Jesus are not also following Jesus. This has gotten the Big C Church in trouble again and again. You remember the ways in which churches debated, what does music look like in church? Does it have to be on a piano? Can it be on an organ? Are the drums allowed? And how about the guitar or the tambourine? Does it have to be a cappella? Are there only certain hymns that can be sung? The Big C Church has asked the question, are there only certain ways to pray? Does it have to be found in the Bible? Does it have to be scripted and memorized? Does it have to be spontaneous and spirit-infused? We've believed that following Jesus looked like only one and not all of the public ways of worship. As the Big C Church, we've watched as Roman Catholics have excluded Lutherans, who've excluded Methodists, who've excluded disciples of Christ, and all down the line. Jesus calls us not to a faith that is private and only for ourselves, but to a public faith, to live our lives out loud in the ways that we personally encounter Christ. In the United Methodist tradition, alongside others, when you join the church, we ask you to support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Witness as a public act of personal experience. In a courtroom setting, when a witness addresses the court, they recount a personal experience of consequence to the court. The personal becomes public. When we share testimony or witness, we recount a personal experience of consequence to those around us. The personal becomes public. We understand that God's presence with us in the most vulnerable places is deeply personal, but never private. That Jesus' presence with us in the darkest hours of our lives is a microcosm for where Christ is with our world in its darkest hours as well. Our intimate and personal relationship with Christ is rooted in community, in a public way of worshiping together. The community who helps us break out of our own heads to encounter people we might not choose, but who have been chosen by God, to see that the church extends beyond our particular and private experiences. Our personal faith and spirituality doesn't just rest in our own, but embraces the gifts and the challenges of others. Private versus personal is the line that you and I walk every time we decide, how much will I share with others? When I have something wonderful going on in my life, who will I tell? When I have devastating news or questions I'm not sure what to do with, how many folks do I want to know this? Private or personal is what we discern when we pass around scrapbooks of our grandkids, when we post things on social media, when we tell our stories. In our faith lives, there is not private versus personal. It is all personal, and it is all for the glory of God. All of this means that our witness has something to say about every part of our lives, even the parts we'd keep behind closed doors. So I wonder this morning, what is your witness? How is your life experiencing Jesus? That's always personal, but never private. Where are you proclaiming the life-transforming power of the personal Jesus, the one who knows you and loves you and can redeem the whole of the public world? This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.